أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، وبه نستعين وهو خير الناصر المعين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله الطاهرين، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من يوم عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الحكيم وقرآن المجيد وقوله الحق: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. الحمد لله، we are in the month of the holy Ramadan, and may Allah give us tawfiq to benefit the most from this month, inshallah, and to perform the deeds and actions which he wants from us, inshallah. And may he be pleased from us, inshallah. The month of Ramadan is the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Unzila fihi al-Qur'an, he has sent down the Qur'an in this month, hudan lin-nas, for the guidance of the people, wa bayyinatin min al-huda, and there are clear proofs of guidance. وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَىٰ وَالْفُرْقَانِ, and it's a distinguisher. The most emphasis, or the major emphasis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that the Qur'an which is revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Ramadan is a book which is for the guidance, and it has clear evidences of the guidance, inshallah. So we will, inshallah, trying to understand what is this guidance. According to some scholars, they said the tafsir of the Quran and the exegesis of the Quran is one of the ways of knowing the guidance, is one of the ways of gaining guidance from Quran, because this Quran is the book of guidance. And we cannot just get the guidance by only reading the verses of the Quran. Rather, we need to go into the depth of the Quran with the help of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, who are the teachers and the true manifestation of the Quran, inshallah. We will start reciting the verses from the very beginning of the Quran, inshallah. And as we go through the verses, if there is, like, there are some important verses which will come, inshallah, which I have marked. So I will go through the a bit explanation and exegesis of those verses, or the tafsir of those verses. And if even in the middle of the verses there is any question, you guys can, inshallah, ask questions so we can have two-way communication. The major focus is to have a quality, we can say, like recitation, or we need to work, we need to understand the Quran itself. Rather, just reading the verses of the Quran or finishing the pages of the Quran, which is more the quantity aspect of the Quran, we will focus on the quality, the message of the Quran, the hidayat, or the guidance which is in the Quran for us, inshallah. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically requires from us. The minimum thing in the month of Ramadan is to know about the guidance which is in the Quran, and on top of that, try to live according to the teachings of Quran, inshallah. So let me just share the I think I will do that from the internet. I have if you guys do not have Quran, you can look at the screen, but I will ask you to have the Qurans with you, your Quran, regular Quran from which you recite daily, and try to read from the hard book, not the soft, obviously the screen that I'm sharing. So screen is just so we can have, like, we are on the track to be on the track, inshallah. So Surah Al-Fatiha. This is the first surah. Now, anyone who wants to volunteer first, or shall I go through the list? I have the participants list. There are 15 participants, 14. And these classes are open for all. We said this before because these are the free classes. So if we have like family members, like two or three, signing in with different IDs, I will recommend to have one ID, and then you can use one ID. And even those who are attending, if they have like their family members, they also want to recite, especially if they have youth or children, you're most welcome, inshallah. Anyone who wants to volunteer first for Surah Al-Fatiha?
I'll start.
أعوذ
بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Ahsantum, ahsantum. This is the first surah of the Quran, which is Surah Al-Fatiha, Fatihatul Kitab. There are different names of it. We have another discussion that sometimes we recite Quran, which is acceptable for the prayers. But if we want to improve and have Arabic accent on top of it and want to have a good recitation, inshallah, for that, we will give you some tips. I already have shared, there was a crash course which I did with the Muslim Congress, like As-Sadiq Academy, before, it was I think 2 years back. So that I shared on one of the groups. So if you can just share it to the others as well, and the more people can inshallah benefit from that. So you can go through that as well. As well as if there is anything which I need to correct, I hope you guys don't mind. This is one of the best things that if someone, is made correct by another person and he does not mind. This is the best ethic that we need to have. Inshallah, we will also try to do that within the ethical, parameters, inshallah. Surah Al-Hamd is the first surah we recited every day in our daily prayers. And the surah itself, obviously, the main portion of this surah, obviously, first we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say He is the master of the day of resurrection or the deen. And إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Only Him, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who we worship, and only for Him whom we ask for the help, nasta'een. And then we ask Him, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Now, first of all, we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the Quranic style, that whenever you need to ask anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can see the same style of, doing some kind of supplication in Sahifa Sajjadiyah. You can see it in Dua Kumail, in Dua Iftitah, any Dua, any supplication which you take, even Dua Ahad. When you look at this, you will see that first of all, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is Surah Al-Fatiha. It's teaching us that if you want to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first praise Him with the Bismillah, start with the Bismillah, praise Him, and take some of the names of His characteristics, like Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, or Maliki Yawmiddin, Al-Ghaffar, Al-Qadir. You know, when we do supplication, when we need to ask anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just do not ask directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, give me this, 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 or I want this, 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 or this is my, wishes. First, we should know about the way of talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah is teaching us, even in the Quran. So it starts with the praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, it starts with the Bismillah, with the name of Allah. And then with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, we need to talk to him that only you we worship, only you we seek for help. And then after that, you need to ask. When you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you took some of his names, some of his characteristics, then you say, in here, obviously, here Allah says that you should say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the right path, to the straight path. The path of those أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, who you blessed, those who you made role model for us. You need to, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that path. And after that, we also say that غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الظَّالِمِ, and not the ones who were astray or who, upon whom you were angry. So basically here we have tawalla and tabarra, both things. You see, in the furu'adin we have like salat, song, like namaz. Then we have fasting, hajj, homes, zakat. And the last two is tawalla and tabarra. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim is tawalla. We are every day with this phrase of this verse, in our prayers are doing tawalla. And when we say ghayril maghdubi alayhim wal dhalin, we are doing tabarra. We disassociate ourselves from the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam. So this is Suratul Hamd. If we can, inshallah, recite the surah in this way in our prayers, it will add on something, a value, a quality, and the prayer will become, inshallah, a quality prayers, inshallah. Thank you, Brother Naeem. Is there anyone else with you?
No.
All right, thank you. Sister Sana, you raised your hand for recitation. Chapter Baqarah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Masa, can we make it the Usmani script where we can have the mud as well?
Okay. So let me just share the other this is the famous world. So is it visible now?
Yes. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Zalikal Kitabu La Raiba Fihi Hudan Lil Muttaqeen Allazina Yu'minuna Bil Ghaibi Wa Yuqimuna As-Salata Wa Mimma Razaqnahum Yunfiqoon Wallazina Yu'minuna Bima Unzila Ilayka Wa Ma Unzila وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
أحسنتم. So this is the second chapter. It is starting with the Alif Lam Mim. Now, a slight, we can say like, note is that when we say Lam, we need to pronounce Lam with its Mim, like Lam, and then we need to say the name of the next letter, which is Mim. Generally, people, like, they do this mistake, Alif Lam Mim, they say like this. Whereas we need to say Alif Lam Mim. So, we need to pronounce the letters properly. Now, about these words that we have, these are the separated alphabets or huruf muqatta'a, and it is said according to some of the mufassireen. They said that whenever we have these words, right after that, you will see that the next verse is talking about the kitab or Quran or book. So it is a kind of code that this might be the name of the Quran, or this is something which is related to the book itself. Most of the verses that we have, right after that, or maybe after one verse, Allah is talking about the book and Quran after these huruf muqatta'a. So these huruf muqatta'a, or the separated alphabets, are the tafsir of the kitab. Now, I have a question. The question is, when we it is said that we are the Muslims, what do we need to believe on? What do you think? What kind of belief we need to have?
Iman bil ghaib.
Well, can you give the examples? For example, name the Iman bil ghaib. Like, for example, we need to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. We must believe as a Muslim on all the angels. We must believe on all the books which were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like all the four books, all the prophets, and on the day of judgment, like the day of judgment, we need to believe on it. If someone believes in all these things, then he is known as a Muslim. Now, this part of the Quran, like very beginning of the Quran, is talking about all these things. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in غَيْب, unseen. Allah is unseen. Malaika, angels for us, is unseen. You know, we believe in all those. And even the Imam of the time, you know, this is a specific word sometimes. It is referred for us as well at this time, the time in which we are living, where the Imam of the time is in ghaiba. So we believe. That's why in the narrations we have that those who are at the time of the occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam are higher in rank than those who could really see the a'imma in front of them, who were present at the time of the other imams. We have these narrations from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam as well, that in the similar context we have it, that those who will come at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and who will believe in him, while they cannot see their imam, are higher in rank than those who can see us. So these kind of things tells us that this is important, and it's right in the beginning of the Quran. When we start the second chapter, Allah talks about it, and he wants to tell us, he wants to make us believe in it, that الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in ghaib, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish prayer. Now, establish prayer does not mean to offer prayers. It means that wherever you are, in whatever state you are, you need to establish prayer. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spend from the money which is given to them, or risk, sustenance. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ, O Prophet, we have revealed upon you the Quran, they believe on it. وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, you know that we need to believe in all four books. So we need to. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ, and the day of judgment. So these two verses is talking about the person who wants to become a Muslim, and he must believe in all these things. And this is the summary of everything. In the ghaib, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the angels, malaika, prophets, and obviously we haven't seen them. So, and establishing prayer, giving like yunfiqun infaq, and believing in the Quran and the books before it, and the day of judgment. And then Allah says, ulaika ala hudam min rabbih. If there is someone like this, ulaika, they are upon the guidance. They're having guidance from their Lord. Wa ulaika humul muflihun, and they are the guided ones. So this is what we have in the beginning of the Quran. But the point is that we never ponder in the verses of the Quran. And due to not pondering and thinking about the verses of the Quran, we are basically away from obviously the treasure which is in the Quran, the guidance which is in the Quran. Therefore, we need to, inshallah, have more, pondering in the verses of the Quran. Sister Afsha, since you're the next on the list, if you can recite the next verse, next page. If there is anything to add, you guys can also add. We can benefit from your views as well.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون ختم الله على قلوبهم ولا سمعهم ولا أبصارهم وعلى أبصارهم غشاوة ولهم عذاب أليم ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم يؤمنون
وما هم
بمؤمنين يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم أليم بما كانوا يكذبون وإذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قالوا إنما نحن مصلحون ألا إنهم هم المفسدون ولكن لا يشكرون وإذا قيل لهم آمنوا كما آمن الناس قالوا أنؤمن كما آمن من السفهاء ألا إنهم هم السفهاء ولكن لا يعلمون وإذا لقوا
لقوا الذين
آمنوا قالوا آمنا وإذا خلوا إلى شياطينهم قالوا إنما نحن
مستهزئون
الله يستهزئ بهم
ويمدهم
في طغيانهم يعمهون أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى
ربحت تجارتهم
وما كانوا مهتدين.
أحسنتم. In this page, we have obviously, this is important. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ and from those mankind of people, مَنْ يَقُولُهُ say, آمَنَّا we believe بِاللَّهِ in Allah وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ and the day of judgment. وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ but in reality, they don't believe. I really don't like the discussion that now we have, like, for example, American Muslim or maybe the Pakistani Muslim. And, some people, they say, like, we are American Muslim, not the Muslim, just the Muslim. So this division means that they're bringing some secular thoughts in the Islam. And on top of that, we have like practicing Muslim and non-practicing Muslim. Muslim is a Muslim. So if he believes, he should prove it through his actions. And that's what Allah says, that if the people are saying that we believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment, but they do not actually believe in it, what happens? يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ. Now this is, they're like, for example, يُخَادِع from خَدَعَ. We call it, a kind of, they're trying to, hide the reality. And they think that وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْتَوْنَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. For example, like it is said that they are trying to kind of portray or show off that they are doing that. they're believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Day of Judgment, whereas this is not the reality. And this is something which through which they are basically harming themselves. So يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ, with this action they are deceiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and those who believed. But this is not the reality. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ, but know that they're deceiving themselves. وَمَا يَشْعَرُونَ, and they don't even, you know about it, or, you know, they do not realize it, that they are deceiving themselves, not the Allah and the mu'mineen. So this is mainly about the munafiqeen as well. So the munafiq is the one whose actions are other than what he says. Thank you very much, Sister Afsha. Brother Zahir, bismillah. If we can have names on the list, on the participant list, if brother and sister can put their names, so I can call them with the name. Brother Zahir, bismillah. Sorry. You have Quran with you, yes?
Right now, I don't have Agha. Inshallah, I will try to keep it next time. So I
from... It is better to read from the Mus'haf. Mus'haf means the book that we have, the book of Quran. And we also have the narrations that when a mu'min recites from the Mus'haf, from the book itself, it causes a painful punishment for shaitan. And, you know, according to some narrations, it is said that even the skin of shaitan starts, you know, peeling off. And it's a kind of terrible thing for shaitan. So it is highly recommended by Aima alayhi salatu wassalam. Bismillah. Mathaluhum.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. مثلهم كمثل الذي استوقد نارا فلما أضاعت ما حوله ذهب الله بنورهم وتركهم في ظلمات لا يبصرون ثم بكم عمي فهم لا يرجعون أو كسيب من السماء فيه ظلمات ورعد وبرق يجعلون أصابعهم في آذانهم من الصوائق حذر الموت والله محيط بالكافرين يكاد البرق يخطف أبصارهم كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا ولو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم إن الله على كل شيء قدير يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون وإن كنتم في ريب مما نزلنا على عبدنا فأتوا بسورة من مثله وادعوا شهداءكم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين فإن لم تفعلوا ولن تفعلوا ولن تفعلوا فاتقوا النار التي وقودها وقودها الناس والحجارة أعدت للكافرين.
Sansun, thank you. If someone can read the translation of, you know, the second chapter, which starts till 24, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about the characteristics of a mu'min first, and then he talks about the kafirin and the munafiqeen. So this is a complete set of, you know, knowing the difference of a mu'min and munafiq, or the hypocrite and the kafir, disbeliever. And what they are after, what they are doing, and how Allah is talking about them. And this is obviously, it is said in these two pages of the second surah of the Quran. So after Brother Zahir, Sister Fawzia, Bismillah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرات رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأوتوا به متشابها ولهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وهم فيها خالدون إن الله لا يستحيي أن يضرب مثلا ما بَعُودَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا يَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يضل به إلا الفاسقين الذين يقودون عهد الله من بعد ميثاقه ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يصلى ويفسدون في الأرض أولئك هم الخاسرون كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم إليه ترجعون هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم.
Ahsantum. In this page, you can see like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا and give glad tidings, good news. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believed وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ and performed good deeds. أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. So I said in the previous two pages, Allah started with the characteristics of the mu'min, what is a mu'min, what he believes. And then Allah talked about the verses are talking about the kafirin and munafiqin. And again, it came back towards the mu'min that now when the azab is for such and such people, then a prophet give glad tidings to the mu'mineen, to the believers, that there are the jannat which are prepared for them and they can have anything to eat from the thamara, from the fruits which are there, the sustenance is over there. And this is important that inna Allah la yastahi, Allah do not shy. Yastahi is from, you know, haya. He does not shy. An yadriba mathalan ma ba'udatan, in order to give an example of a very small thing which can be, you know, a mosquito or even smaller than that, because ba'udatan is a kind of insect which is smaller than a mosquito or the so it's similar to that. فَمَا فَوْقَهُ, or even bigger than that. So when Allah gives small example and he does not shy, we being the mu'min should not also shy from practicing whatever it is said, even if we think that this is too small. For example, if you're doing something, you say like, for example, it is said to say salawat, for example, once in a day. Someone might think like, what will happen by saying one time salawat? Even this one-time salawat will have its own effects. So even the smallest thing that we can perform has effect in our life. And the bigger thing if we do, they both have effects. So this is what we had here. Do we have anyone with the kids in the class?
My daughter would like to recite.
Bismillah.
Khadija. The speech.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون. وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها ثم أعرضهم على الملائكة فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين. قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقول لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون. وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين. فقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين. فأذلهما الشيطان عنها فأخرجهما مما كان فيه وقلنا اهبطوا بعضكم لبعض عدو ولكم في الأرض مستقر ومتاع إلى حين فتلقى آدم من ربه كلمات فتاب عليه إنه هو التواب الرحيم.
Ahsantum, ahsantum. Thank you very much. Now this page, page number six that we just recited, the sister has just recited, this is about the story of Adam alayhi salam. And one thing we need to know that, you know, why we need to pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why we need to reach to the perfection, why we should have the purification in our lives. One of the reasons is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made all of us khalifa. We all are khalifatullah on this earth. Why Allah has said, and it is said like that the human beings are ashraful makhluqat. They are the better than the other creatures. So they are superior. It is because we have a status which none of the other creatures have. And that is Khalifatullah. Because we are Khalifatullah on this earth, we are the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously he has made us Khalifa on this earth. Because from this verse, we use it for both. There is a specific meaning, which is mukhtas or ikhtisasi, which we say like it is makhsus or special meaning. And there is a common meaning. When we use this word as a common, it says that every single human being is Khalifatullah. And he has to save his status of being Khalifatullah on this earth. If he is not saving his status of Khalifatullah on this earth, then there is a punishment. Because Allah has created us as the best creature, and he has given us this status. If we waste it, if we misuse it, if we do not go towards this, then obviously there are the consequences. And we have to face those consequences. That's why Allah says that those who believe, they are performing good deeds, they are praying, there is a paradise for them, there is a reward for them. And those who deny, who become kafir or mushrik or anything else, other than a Muslim or those who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there are consequences. These consequences is because we all are Khalifatullah, and we need to know this, that being the Khalifatullah, we must follow the rules which were set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this brings an obligation upon us that we must pray, we must follow the laws and rules and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we must avoid from the forbidden things which are forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we all are Khalifatullah. And those who reach to that level, who purify themselves, who reach to the perfection, they were the Khalifatullah in its real meaning, and which was the prophets and the Aima alayhim salatu wasalam. So they practically has reached to that level. Now, why people do not reach to that? This is answered in this verse, that the people, because we are made of clay, in order to live into this world in earth, obviously this earth is made of clay, it's a nature. We have two aspects. One is the soul, and other aspect is our skin, our body. This body is made of clay, and the spirit or soul is other than this body that we have. So the yufsidu fiha, because the angel said that, oh Allah, are you going to send someone on the earth who will do corruption in this earth over there, وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا, and he will shed the blood on the earth. وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. I don't know if I have said this before or not, but I will mention this. You know, if I say, for example, you know, can you guys unmute your mics, because I have to have two-way communication in this. You see two people who are participating in election, okay? And one of the parties or one of the candidates claims that the other candidate We'll do the corruption and we'll shed the blood. Okay. Whereas on the other hand, he says, like, for example, here the angels are saying, "Manuqaddis," like, we glorify you, and we, you know, "Nuqaddis," like, we glorify you, and "Yusabbih," we do your. Someone who is a candidate for a position, because according to this verse, malaika or angels are also candidating themselves to the position of Khalifatullah, being the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, they're arguing, they're bringing their argument, and they're saying that do not make Adam, who's made of clay, the Khalifa. Why? Because the Adam, or the ones who are made of clay, they do fasad, corruption, and they shed the blood. On the other hand, why Allah should make them Khalifa? They're not saying that we do not shed the blood, we do not do corruption. They're not saying this. Rather, they're saying that we glorify you and we do your tasbih. What is the relation between these two? Was this answer a correct answer by angels? What do you guys think? Sister Nusrat, we cannot hear you.
Is somebody talking?
No, no, no. We're listening to you. Bismillah.
They said that the Khalifa that you put on the earth, as you said, that they're going to be corrupted and they're going to kill and let the shade and all that and shed the blood. However, we are glorifying you, and we are giving hamd to you, and Allah answered to them that I know something that you don't know.
My question was this answer which the malaika given, that we nuqaddisu lak wa nusabbih, was it a good answer or not?
It was not a good answer, because it wasn't a good answer, because usually actually Allah knows a lot more than malaika and anybody, any other.
Is it a relevant answer or not? Like the argument, the proof which they are bringing for themselves. Well, Allah, make us the Khalifa, yes, and not Adam. Is it relevant answer or not?
I think it's a relevant answer. Okay, they're saying that if we actually glorify you and if we actually worship you, we will not be doing those things and we will be just doing this. Because what we will be doing is ibadah. What we will be doing is what you deserve, which is ibadah. And we will not get involved in all these bloodshed and fighting among each other. And we will not be doing all of that. So in one way, I think that we are so elevated in worshiping you that we will not do these mean things. This is one of the things that I think that's my point of view, but I'm a very man of little knowledge.
Someone has signed in with iPad, raised hand. I don't know, is it brother or sister?
It's me, Mullen.
That question, sir.
I just wanted to know, how did the Farishtas know that there'll be bloodshed and fighting? There was nobody before, so how did they know all this?
All right, I'll answer that question. Sister Nusrat, do you want to add something?
I was going to say that it's true that Malaik said that we are worshiping you and we are glorifying you, but how would you guarantee that they would not change their mind when they get the Khilafah?
Okay. Now, the whole answer is in the word nusabbihu. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the word tasbih means to glorify. This is one of the meaning.
Right.
And when we say subhanallah, what is subhanallah means? We refuse the things that shouldn't be, you know, associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We refuse those things.
And we do not associate those things which are against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should not be associated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is tasbih. The real meaning of tasbih is that, you know, when someone glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Brother Zahir has answered a part of it, and the main answer is in the nusabbihu. That nusabbihu means that not doing any kind of corruption and not shedding the blood and not committing any kind of sin. This is nusabbih, which means that, in other words, if the things which should not be associated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if someone does not associate them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is in the state of tasbih. He is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if mushrikeen are bringing a partner, they come out of the state of tasbih. If someone does corruption, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the corruption is ashaddu min al-qatl, or it's worse than killing someone, it means that this person is out of the state of tasbih. If someone does not pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is out of the state of tasbih. If someone is, you know, shedding blood or doing any kind of corruption or any kind of sin, he comes out the state of tasbih. This is what nusabbihu. This is a relevant answer which they gave. And exactly, nusabbihu is the answer to man yufsidu fiha wa yasfiku dima. And that's why they said nusabbihu first and then nuqaddisu. You know, sanctity came after the glorification. Nusabbihu bihamdik. So if any one of us, this is my point, if any one of us is not associating anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he does not deserve, we are also in the state of tasbih. We all are in the state of tasbih. And when do we come out of that state? The time when someone does a corruption, basically he refuses to act according to the rules and orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who refuses to accept the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he comes out of the state of tasbih. So basically, all of us are in the state of tasbih. We all are. But the difference of the man and the angels is that we have the power of doing fasad, corruption, and shedding blood. This is in us. We have this power, but we are not using it. And that's why we are superior to the angels, because angels do not have the capacity or ability to shed the blood, or, for example, you know, do fasad. It's not in their, you know, they do not have such powers. So that's why a human being is superior to them. Now, the sister has asked that how the angels know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am going to send a khalifa. He did not take the name of Adam alayhi salam right now. He said, I'm going to send a khalifa on the earth. And they all knew that it is made of clay. Now, remember that the clay, mud, nature, it is in nature. Yufsidu fiha, doing corruption, and shedding blood is the characteristics of nature. You can see that in jungle, there is a rule of jungle that the big animals, they eat the small animals. They shed the blood. On whenever like the animals are hungry, they fight on the food. There is yufsidu fasad. So it is in the nature, basically. We have two things in ourselves. Once we have a nature, which is our body that we can see, the body which like we have bones and flesh and all those things. The other thing, which is pure, we can say entity, that is our soul. So our body has this characteristic of shedding blood or doing the fasad. Since the Adam alayhi salam was made of clay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, I have blowed my ruh in it. And then he ordered the malaika to do the sajda. That was the time that, you know, the ruh was entered into the Adam. But before that, that the clay which was there, the statue of Adam which was there, that statue has these characteristics because it was made of nature. The characteristics of yufsidu, like doing fasad, and yasfikud dima was there. And that's how the angels knew, because angels have the ilm. There is a certain knowledge which the angels do have. And from, you know, for example, we know that what is the characteristics of an iron? For example, if you bring a magnet close to an iron, you know that the iron will go towards the magnet. So we know the characteristics of things from before. Similarly, Allah has given the knowledge of different things to the angels. So they have this knowledge that anything which is made of nature will have these two things in them. One is fasad, which is corruption. The second thing is yasfiqud dima, shedding the blood. So this is in the nature, basically. And that's how they know. Some of the mufassirin has said that, for example, like there were human beings before it. But the correct answer, the most logical answer is that because we are made of clay, we are made of nature and the dust, therefore, this is the characteristic. That's why every single thing that you see in the nature have these two characteristics in them, until unless they control themselves. They have this. The yasfiqud dima is there, and yufsidu fiha is there. The only thing that do not have, for example, like yasfiqud dima, like shedding blood, or in its swear way, those animals were made halal for us to eat. You know, cows do not kill animals in order to feed, or the goats or camels or chicken or hen or, you know, so these kind of animals. So the animals which are made halal, they do not have this aspect of yasfiqud dima the way like the lion or other animals have, which are haram to eat. So the halal is, but on the other hand, yes, they have the factor of yufsidu, because whenever there is less food, they fight with each other. And sometimes, obviously, they have these kind of things in them. So this is what Allah is making clear. And that's why Allah said, "Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun." Why? Because it's Allah to blow his spirit into this statue of Adam. And then Adam will be a person who will have two things. One, the soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, for example, when Allah says. And the other thing is that it has a body. And this is the, we can say, in Persian, they use the word shahkar. We use it in Urdu as well, in Urdu and Persian. What would you say in English? Shahkar. If I want to... any brother or sister, a masterpiece, rough translation. Okay, this is the masterpiece which Allah made amongst his creatures, that something that has the the dimension of purification, which is ruh, which is insan-e kamil, which is mu'min, or which is, you know, the perfect human being, potentially, not practically, potentially. It has the potential of becoming the perfect human, that is the soul, and which is the fitrah. Again, we will have, inshallah, verses. If we reach to those verses, we'll talk about the fitrah as well, which is fitrah. And the other thing is this body, which has the corruption in it, which has the characteristics or ability to shed the blood. And it is very easy for this body to go astray. And that's why when we leave our souls and we stick to the body, we think materially, the people will become corrupt. The people, they just think about themselves. They don't think about others. They do not care about others. And if you leave these things and you stick to the soul, then obviously you can become a perfect person. Becoming a perfect person, going towards the soul, it is against capitalism. You know, in the economics, the capitalism, even the socialism talks about this, that you need to maximize your personal profit. Now, maximizing personal profit means that do not give any kind of charity. Do not help other people. Even do not help your kids. You know, if you have some kind of savings for your kids tomorrow, if they want to go to the university, and even if you're bringing some sustenance at home, you're feeding them, it is all against the foundations of capitalism, the economical system today that we have in the world. Why? Because this is based on materialism. This is based on materialism. Whereas Islam, which talks about soul, which talks about fitrah, which talks about Khalifatullah, this is important, that the difference between the Islamic economics and the other economics or Islamic judiciary system and the others is that Islam believes that the mankind is Khalifatullah. Everyone is Khalifatullah. They have to reach to this level. When you're Khalifatullah, you need to help others. You need to have the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within you. And you know why we say Ahlul Bayt are the example of the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why we say it? You know, they are madhhare sifat-e ilahi. I'm using the Urdu and Persian words. I hope that you all understand. Can I have a quick, let me ask, those who do not understand Urdu and Persian, please raise your hands, if you can. Because I'm going to use these words so we can bring minds closer. So there's no one. Alhamdulillah, everyone understands. All right. So, madhhare sifat-e ilahiyya. Madhhar, it's an Arabic word, basically. Madhhar means that someone is the example of, or, you know, you can see in it, you know. So the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as a human beings, if we can have one of the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is enough for us. You know, for example, if someone can become hakim, wise, someone can become alim, if someone can become, you know, the one who gives to the people, who charities a lot, who forgives people. You know, these are all characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ahl Bayt alayhimu salatu wasalam has all the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the examples of the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah wants us to become like Ahlul Bayt, to follow their footsteps. If we follow their footsteps, they have the most of the characteristics they do have, except the characteristics of, you know, creating, that is specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rububiyat, uluhiyat, and khaliqiyat. These are specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worshipping is specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot refer that to the A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam. So other than that, Allah wants us to become like Him. Why? Because we all are Khalifatullah on this earth. If we understand our position, our status, none of us will commit any kind of sin. None of us will think about going astray. None of us will be misguided by shaitan. I said this on the first day of Ramadan. It was the Mafahim class or the vocabulary class. I mentioned it, that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imprisons the shaitan. What is the reason of imprisoning shaitan? It is because we have two factors that takes us towards the wrong path. One is the nafs, which is ourselves, which is in ourselves. Nafs-e ammara, it is said, nafs-e ammara. And the other thing is shaitan, which is external. Allah imprisons the external factor that takes us towards the wrong path. The only thing which Allah wants us in the month of Ramadan is to control ourselves, the inner factor. And this inner factor belongs to Jihad-e Akbar. If we can control ourselves, for example, if I'm reciting something, in the Ramadan, there is no shaitan. There is no whispering of shaitan. Now, this is clear for us. This is from the narrations. It is clear that there is no shaitan. There is no evil outside whispering us. Now, even in the month of Ramadan, if I am going towards a wrong deed, or maybe, I'm talking to myself that it's enough, or I should not do this and I should do this. And if there is something that is taking me away from the right path, this is my nafs-e ammara. This is what I need to control in this month. If we are able to control this nafs-e ammara in this month, then for the rest of the year, shaitan cannot whisper anything. Shaitan cannot control any mu'min. And this is the time. That's why the Ramadan is the best time. And the best time to, you know, practice such things and to take us out of the state where this nafs is controlling us, Rather, we need to control our nafs. Let me just give another example to bring minds closer and to freshen everyone. That, you know, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam says that people are of two types. There are two types of people who eat lunch or food, any kind of food. There are some people who, when they eat something, they lift their food. You know, they're bearing the weight of their food. And there is another group whom the food is lifting. The difference is, you know, when we overeat, we are full enough, it's hard for us to move. We look for a place to lay down. And, you know, sometimes when we stand up, we say, oh, I'm full. I overeat it. This is one of the kinds of the people who are lifting what they're eating. But there are another kind of people who eat up to a specific amount in which that food is giving energy to them. They are fresh even after eating. They can easily stand up. They can move. They can walk. So there are two types of people. Similarly, we need to be amongst those who lift our souls, our nafs. We need to become something like that. And this burden of food shouldn't be in a way that we shouldn't be able to, you know, control it. We should control it. And if we get to the soul and we let soul, the fitrah, actual soul or fitrah, which was blowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the human being, if we let it to lift us, then we will go towards the perfection. But if we ignore that, then we are lifting our bodies, this material, the nafs-e ammara, and we will be obeying the nafs-e ammara. Therefore, it is necessary to ponder on the concept of Khalifatullah, that we are the representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. Yes, amongst us, there are some special people who are called as prophets and imams, who are role model, who are telling us that since you are the Khalifatullah, representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth, how you should live, what to do, what to follow, what kind of person you should be, so that you can reach to perfection. So there is a light, there is a guidance for us in the form of humans. So they are the prophets, they are the imams that we need to follow, inshallah. So this whole page is talking about the Adam alayhi salam and how shaitan, you know, whispered, or he talked to the Adam alayhi salam and his wife, the Hawa, and how they were, expelled from the paradise, and how the malaika, they did sajda, but the Iblis didn't. Aba wastakbara. He was arrogant. You know, tawadhu is necessary. You know, being humble. This is necessary, that we need to be humble. You know, what does being humble mean? Being humble means that we, deny our superiority upon others. This is what being humble. You know, we have seen many scholars or maraji or ayatullah, for example, whoever enters in their house, they stand up in the respect. Whereas you can say like he's marja, he's the leader of a specific group of people. But when he stands up in the respect, he is basically saying no to himself. This is important. Iblis was another candidate for the Khilafatullah. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. Iblis, why Iblis was arrogant? Why he became from kafirin? It was because he was also, waiting for, he was also thinking that he will be one of the candidates, or he will become the Khalifatullah on the earth. And the prayers which he used to do, the worshiping which he used to do, because of those worships, he thought that he is good enough, that he can claim to be Khalifatullah. But when he saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a third person Khalifa, Like Allah didn't make malaika, neither Iblis. So Aba wastakbara. You know, he refused to do sajda to Adam and he became arrogant. Wakana min al-kafirin. Allah says wakana. Kana means he was. He was from the day one kafir. This is another point. From day one, Iblis was kafir. But the day when he showed his kufr, that was the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished him. This is important that, you know, people say like when Prophet knew that there are munafiqeen around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is going to happen to Hazrat Fatimah Zahra salamu alayha or Imam Ali alayhi salam, and they will become against Imam Ali and Hazrat Fatimah Zahra. Why Prophet did not, you know, mention their names? Why he did not do anything against them? Well, it is the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seerah that until unless someone performs the mistake, Allah do not punish them. The Prophet even, until unless someone does not do any kind of mistake, Prophet, even he knows that they will do that. He knows about the future. He knows about the real characteristics of those people or reality of the people. But because they have not committed that sin, because they have not committed that mistake, it is not good to, you know, disclose the reality. And that's why it is said, if you know something about a mu'min, until unless it is not disclosed openly, do not talk about it. Otherwise, it will be backbiting. There are many things, you know, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ has a lot of things to talk about. And we can just keep going on and on and on and talk about this. So this is what we have. And I think it's enough. It's better to move on. Otherwise, we can go into the depth in a Hawzawi style, you know, and we can spend many days talking about just وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ and why Allah said he was from the kafirin. If he was from the kafirin, then what he was doing next to the angels in disguise, what he was doing in the, you know, the paradise or the garden in which Adam alayhi salam was. So there are many questions. We can talk about them again and again for many days, but let's stop here, inshallah. فتلقى آدم رب من ربه كلمات فتاب عليه إنه هو التواب الرحيم. Now this is another thing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, you know, when he talks about himself, you know, he says, I'm تواب الرحيم. I am so many, you know, lot repenting towards you, returning towards you. تواب is a superlative form. الرحيم, the merciful. And, you know, there is a difference of taba alayh and taba ila. I said this before. I don't know. I hope that all of you have done the vocabulary classes. Whenever we have the word taba ila with the ila like this. Sorry. Let me go back. When we have taba ila, if it is ila, it is for us repenting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tubu ila Allah. Repent towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it is said fataba alayh from with the ayn lam ala, it means that Allah repents towards us. Allah returns towards us. Allah looks at us. And obviously he accepts our tawbah. So whenever Allah uses the word, like in the Quran, you will see taba alay, it means Allah has accepted their repentance. So he turned back towards us and he accepted our tawbah. And whenever it is tubu ila with the hamza, lam, alif, it means that we human beings need to, repent towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Inshallah, we will have tomorrow class at the same time. And those who couldn't recite today, I will like request them tomorrow, inshallah, to raise their hands in the beginning of the class. And then we can ask them one by one to recite the Quran. If there is any question, we'll spare the rest of 5 minutes for question and answer. And inshallah, from tomorrow, we will start from the page number 7 of Usman Taha and verse number 38 of chapter Baqarah, the second chapter, inshallah ta'ala.
I have a question.
Bismillah.
As you know that I am